Thank you for joining me today. We are in Luke 1 as we prepare for Christmas, now just a few days away. I hope that you have continued to embrace the reading challenge I gave you. It is to read Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 56, once a day until Christmas Day. If you've been doing this, then I believe you will have learned a lot. Yes, just from reading and rereading the passage. The more you read it, the more you see. And I would be curious to know what you see. Drop me a note today, would you? Either via email or regular mail, and let me know. My addresses will be given at the end of today's broadcast, so please stay tuned for them. There's much to discover in this rich passage of Scripture, and we're going to do as much as we can in the time allotted to us. And I recognize we're spending quite a bit of time this week on verse 28. Luke 1, verse 28 says, "And coming in, Gabriel said to Mary, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.'" The reason I am dedicating time to understand this is because a proper interpretation of this verse tells us who is the real Mary. A misinterpretation gives us a Mary who never existed, a terrible false impression of her, and a misinterpretation upon which has been built a whole system of idolatry, the worship of Mary. That system is the theology of Mary found within the Roman Catholic Church, a church that has dominated the landscape in Boston, in much of New England, and yes, even around the entire world, sometimes in the past, yet still often in the present, proclaiming Mary to be equal with Jesus and a sinless person worthy of our worship and prayer. Yes, Catholic people do pray to Mary and expect that Mary can hear and answer their prayers. Perhaps you are such a person who prays to Mary. Well, I reject this flat out. Mary cannot hear your prayers, and therefore Mary cannot answer your prayers. Luke 1, verse 28, and two other verses in our Bible passage that we will look carefully at, do not teach that Mary was a blessed perpetual virgin who is to be venerated, worshipped. Hear me clearly. The Bible never, ever teaches that about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Never. For the last 2 days, I have used the Bible to refute this erroneous Catholic teaching. For example, in Luke 1, verse 47, Mary tells us that she saw herself as a sinner in need of God's saving. Luke 1, verse 47 says, "And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Mary experiences God as Savior because God has saved her from her what? God has saved her from her sin. And yet, my Catholic friends persist, and they do so by pointing to two other verses in Luke 1 as proof, they say, of Mary's immaculate conception and sinlessness. It is to those verses we now come, as I have promised you that we would. Before we jump into these, let me tell you how I am going to approach this. I'm going to take these two verses from Luke 1, one at a time. And to do this, I need at least two broadcasts. So what we're embarking on now will take the rest of our time today and quite a bit of time tomorrow. This is why you cannot miss a day on God Is. But rest assured, should you be unable to make it next time or any time, just go to the WEZ website and download a podcast of each and every broadcast free of charge. The website will be mentioned later, but I'll let you know now that it's 590amtheword.com. That's 590amtheword.com. You click the link at the very top of the page marked Podcasts. God Is will come up next. Click that and begin. It's very easy to do. Really, it is. So check it out today, and if you have any questions, email me. Thus far, we have seen the Catholic Church use Luke 1, verse 28, to support their claim that Mary was a woman of an immaculate conception, and she was sinless, therefore making her eligible for our worship. The second verse in Luke 1 they use, or you use if you are Catholic, is verse 42. This is a very popular verse in Catholicism. And to get at it in our reading, what we have to do is a little gymnastics. So what I'm going to do is to leap over verses 29 to 38 in Luke 1 and land, hopefully with both my feet flat and secure on the Bible, in verse 39. I will read verses 39 to 45 for context and then focus on verse 42. Are you with me? Let's take our jump together. We go now in the Bible from Luke 1, verse 28, all the way over to Luke 1 and verse 39. Ready, set, and let's go. Now, at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." Mary has been told by the angel Gabriel that Jesus is now growing inside of her, so she sets off to the countryside, the hill country, and comes to the home of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Their story is fascinating as well, and Luke tells it much earlier in chapter 1. Luke 1 is a very long chapter. It's also one of the most important chapters in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We learned that when Mary gets to Elizabeth, there's another baby, older by 6 months, that is growing in the womb of Elizabeth. That baby is also conceived by a miracle, and his name is John. We know him as John the Baptist. From Luke 1 and verse 36, we learn of this, and that Mary and Elizabeth are related to one another. Luke 1 verse 36 says, "And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her 6th month. Now notice what happened when Mary entered Elizabeth's home. Verse 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow. In other words, when Mary greeted Elizabeth, the as-yet-unborn infant baby John leaped in Elizabeth's womb. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. In verses 42 to 43, Elizabeth says to Mary, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me?" Elizabeth, controlled by the Holy Spirit, acknowledges that Mary is carrying the long-awaited Messiah of the Jewish people. Notice her title for Mary's baby, "My Lord." Lord is capitalized, capital L, meaning Jesus, Messiah, the long-awaited King. But if you would, highlight verse 42. It is also in verse 45 that Elizabeth calls Mary blessed. The key verse for you, if you are Catholic, is verse 42. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And that is a second verse after verse 28 that Catholics say proves Mary had an immaculate conception and she was sinless. I trust that you're following me closely. I may be stretching your brain a little today, and this requires concentration from you. But that's what we need to do if we're going to have a fruitful Bible study. We do not want to be light and always very devotional. We want to dig into the Scriptures and know who God is by reflecting on who His people are, like Mary. So please stick with me. And again, the podcast is there for bad static on a car radio, or if you lost your concentration and think, "Wait, what did he say? I wish I could hear that again." All you've got to do is just download that podcast, and you can hear every episode of God Is again. So we have Luke 1, verse 28, and we have Luke 1, verse 42, and now we have a third verse that we have to deal with because Catholics also use this next verse as proof for their position that Mary had an immaculate conception and she was sinless. And this third verse is Luke 1, verse 48. That is in Luke chapter 1 and verse 48. To put that verse in context, let me read Mary's response to Elizabeth beginning in verse 46. "And Mary said, 'My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble estate of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed.'" If you were with us yesterday, then you know verses 46 through 48 come from what we call Mary's Magnificat, sung by choirs and played by orchestras often this month. Bach wrote it, and we enjoy listening to it, played by a competent group of musicians. But did you know it's from right here in the Bible's Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1? Okay, I have told you that I wanted to read the verses the Catholic Church uses to say that Mary had an Immaculate Conception, that she was sinless and she is worthy of our worship. I've just done that. The key verses are Luke 1, verse 28. We dealt with that yesterday. Then Luke 1, verses 42 and 48. The key word in verses 42 and 48 is the word blessed. Verse 42, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And verse 48, all generations will count me blessed. And we're going to be looking at the real meaning of the word blessed in the time ahead of us. But the Catholic Church says that blessed means that God has given Mary the same blessing that God gave to Jesus in Christ's humanity. Mary and Jesus are the recipients of the same blessing from God. The parallel blessing means that as Christ was born without sin and free from sin his whole life, so too was Mary. Christ never sinned. Mary never sinned. Therefore, Christ is worthy of our worship, and Mary is worthy of our worship. This is what Catholics believe. This is what the Roman Catholic Church actively teaches. This is how the Bible is misused by Catholic theologians today. And so what? Does this matter? Oh, I believe it does. And if you'll come back tomorrow and in the days ahead leading up to Christmas, I will show you why it matters and why it matters a lot. Every single one of you listening should care about this, whether you be Catholic or not. Do not miss a day, and I look forward to talking to you again as we continue to learn who God is.